Rava, Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vardhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vardhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vardhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading. Okay, so 21, 22, and... Okay.
And then 22. No, we did this one, not the... Oh,
wow. Okay, very good.
24 is
22. So, Imam Doka Mamun Chaiva.
Imam Doka Mamun Chaiva.
Ramayan Sutaram Yadun.
Remek
Shana... Daya data Shana Stri Shana Sauhridaha. Translation: the Lord enjoys his pastimes both in this world and in the other worlds, higher planets, specifically in the association of the Yad dynasty. At leisure hours offered by night, he enjoyed the friendship of conjugal love with women. Text 22. Tasyaivam Ramamanasya. Sambatsara ganan bahun. Griha medeshu yogeshu. Viraga samajayata. Translation: the Lord was thus engaged in household life for many, many years, but at last his detachment from ephemeral sex life was fully manifested. And then text 23. The purport to this one? Okay. Purport. Even though the Lord is never attached to any kind of material sex life as the universal teacher, he remained a householder for many, many years, just to teach others how one should live in householder life. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that the word samajayata means fully exhibited. In all his activities while present on the earth, the Lord exhibited detachment. This was fully displayed when he wanted to teach by example that one should not remain attached to household life for all the days of one's life. One should naturally develop detachment as a matter of course. The Lord's detachment from household life does not indicate detachment from his eternal associates, the transcendental cowherd damsels, but the Lord desired to end his so-called detachment to the three modes of material nature. He can never be detached from the service of his transcendental associates like Rukmini and other goddesses of fortune, as described in the Brahma Samhita. Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasam Brahma Sevyamanam. Text 23. Devadineshu Kameshu. Devadinaksamayam Puman. Kovishram Vita Yogena. Yogeshvaram Anuvrataha. Somebody. Devadineshu Kameshu. Devadinaksvayam Puman. Kovishram Vita Yogena. Yogeshvaram Anuvrataha. Daivadineshu Kameshu. Daivadina Svayam Puman. Kovishram Beta Yogena. Yogeshvaram Anuvrataha. Daivadineshu Kameshu. Daivadina Svayam Puman. Kovishram Beta Yogena. Yogeshvaram Anuvrataha. Ladies. Daivadineshu Kameshu. Daivadina Svayam Puman. Kovishram Beta Yogena. Yogeshvaram Anuvrataha. Daivadineshu Kameshu. Daivadinak Svayam Puman. Kovishram Beta Yogena. Yogeshvaram Anuvrataha. Daiva. Supernatural. Adineshu, being controlled. Kameshu, intense enjoyment. Daiva Adinaha, controlled by supernatural force. Svayam, himself. Puman, living entity. Kaha, whoever. Vishrambeta, can have faith in. Yogena, by devotional service. Yogeshvaram, the Supreme Lord. Anuvrataha, serving. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Every living entity is controlled by a supernatural force, and thus his sense enjoyment is also under the control of that supernatural force. No one, therefore, can put his faith in Lord Krishna's transcendental sense activities. But one who has become a devotee of the Lord by rendering devotional service. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, no one can understand the transcendental birth and activities of the Lord. The same fact is herein corroborated. No one but one who is enlightened by the devotional service of the Lord can understand the difference between the Lord's activities and those of others who are controlled by the supernatural force. The sense enjoyment of all animals, men, and demigods within the purview of the material universe is controlled by the supernatural force called Prakriti or Daivi Maya. No one is independent in obtaining sense enjoyment, and everyone in this material world is after sense enjoyment. Persons who are themselves under the control of supernatural power cannot believe that Lord Krishna is not under any control beyond himself in the matter of sense enjoyment. They cannot understand that his senses are transcendental. In the Brahma Samhita, the Lord's senses are described as omnipotent, that is to say, with any sense he can perform the activities of the other senses. One who has limited senses cannot believe that the Lord can eat by his transcendent power of hearing and can perform the act of sex life simply by seeing. The controlled living entity cannot even dream of such sense activities in his conditional life. But simply by the activities of bhakti yoga, one can understand that the Lord and his activities are always transcendental. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, 1855, Bhaktiyamam abhijanati yaman yascha smitatvataha. One cannot know even a fraction of the activities of the Lord if he's not a pure devotee of the Lord. Omagyanatimdandasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya madon vishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamahyam vadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita shri vishakam vitamscha he krishna karuna sindho dinabandhu jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Dakta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai. Good morning, everybody. Jai, thank you very much for having me here in this ecstatic day. So, happy Friday to everyone. Today is Black Friday, right? Thank you for being here. So Black Friday. Black is Krishna and Friday is Shukra Vasaraha. Shukra means white. So Krishna, Shukra, black, white. Oh, today is Krishna Balaram Friday. Yeah, so it's a very auspicious day then. Well, it's especially auspicious because of the holy name. Krishna makes every day exciting, amazing, and auspicious. Today we're hearing here about a very, very nice explanation of, you know, how we are controlled by this supernatural power, as Prabhupada puts it here. In the Daiva Dina He begins by saying that, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, no one can understand the transcendental birth and activities of the Lord. Can anybody remember a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that begins like that? Janma karma cha me divyam evanyo vetitat vatahati akvadeham punajanmane timame tisorjina. And who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So no one can understand that except a devotee. And Prabhupada is saying that here the same fact is being corroborated. Unless one is enlightened by devotional service of the Lord, no one can understand the difference between the Lord's activities and those of others who are controlled by this supernatural force. This force is very, very strong. And Prabhupada says here that sense enjoyment of all animals, men, and demigods within the purview of the material universe is controlled by this supernatural force called Prakriti or Vajimaya. We do hear in the Bhagavad Gita, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashaha Ahankara Vimudatma Kartahamiti Manyate, that the spirit soul is bewildered by the influence of the false ego, thinking himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. So we are understanding now that that we are controlled. There is a power over us. Now, generally, people like to think that, just think for yourself. Don't believe in anything else. But you're using a mind, and that mind is controlled by the most of material nature. So we're actually controlled at all times in all processes by this daiva adineshu, this higher power, this the divine power that is controlling all of us. And these senses are very strong, and we generally don't think about how strong they are. In fact, right now, I'm at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, and one of the things that we're studying there, that I'm doing research in, is looking at the brain, looking at the different brain scans, functional MRI, for those of you that know a little bit about it, fMRI. Is it better like this? Okay, so this functional MRI, it lights up, when something happens, when there's activity in your brain, it lights up different things in your brain. So we look at that, and we're looking especially at addiction. How does the brain look like under addiction? And there is a difference. There is a change in the brain when there is addiction. How does addiction actually happen, according to modern science? Generally, the neurons, they have a potential, right? And when we get, a lot of sense enjoyment, this potential goes up, right? It goes like way high, and the neuron is going like, woo! And the thing is, it cannot stay like that. The body knows it's not good to stay so high at that point. So it starts closing these channels of calcium and potassium, so that nothing starts entering like that. So as it blocks it, then this thing starts going down, right? But then what happens? Those blocks are still there. So even when there is nothing coming in, now there is more blocking, right? So therefore, nothing is happening. So now your normal is going to be lower than it used to be. So now the only way to get back to where you were or higher is to put in some more in there, right? So this brings it back all the way up, and the body says oh wait, this is too much, so it blocks some more. So every time you're needing more and more and more. This is addiction. Now, this can happen in terms of smoking, which is what we're looking into, but also in terms of other things like opium or any other thing, like, for example, social media, right? Or, sugar, or food, or, you know, like, so many things. Even, and I once asked this question in a class, you know, when I was learning this, and I was like, does that also happen in terms of love? Or what we call love, you know, kama. And they said, the professor said, yes, that also happens like that. That is why, you know, when somebody leaves or like that, I cannot live without you. Yeah, you're not giving, you know, the sense of enjoyment that you're giving me, you know, is I needed to keep going higher and higher, and you're leaving, and so I'm not going to be able to fulfill that. So there is that dependency, that addiction, right? But we're hearing here, even from the previous one, that Krishna, he has this detachment. He's not controlled by anything. He had 16,108 wives, and this ephemeral sex life, he says, doesn't matter. He is not controlled. Now, for somebody who has never had, you know, this knowledge of Krishna as Satchitananda Vigraha, that he has this body which is not controlled by the senses, they cannot understand, like, wait, he can just give it up? How is that possible? You know, if I had it, I would not be able to give it up. That's, you know, we put ourselves in Krishna's place always. And because I can't do it, nobody else can, basically. But then, what we know is that we can use actually these mechanisms to our advantage. How can we use addiction to our advantage? We want to become addicted to Krishna. So in the same way that, you know, Prabhupada says that we should become addicted to chanting our rounds the way that a person addicted to drinking is to his bottle. You know, just I can't live without chanting my japa. What an incredible addiction that would be. You know, that, oh, I need to hear. I need to go hear Bhagavatam class. I need to go do some Harinam. Chant like that. How amazing that. And that is what, you know, our acharyas are showing us. Like, yes, you can become addicted like this. Just like what is going on with us right now is that we have jaundice, Prabhupada said, right? We have this jaundice, and we have to take the sugar candy. So the more we do it, the more we will actually become addicted to this, and that is a good addiction. So if we're going to be addicted, might as well be to a good thing. Might as well be addicted to reading Bhagavatam, to doing service, to glorifying Krishna nonstop. Let that become my addiction. Let me think about Krishna nonstop for 24 hours. Let me, you know, want to even every night go to sleep, you know, thinking like I hope I dream of Krishna tonight. You know, let that be our addiction. And you know, I'm staying right now at the Krishna house. And they have this little flyer of this event that happened here a couple of months ago of the Bhakti Recovery Group. And I was thinking, yeah, these temples that Prabhupada opened, they're exactly that. They're a Bhakti Recovery Group. We've been addicted to sense gratification, you know, for so long, and we are trying now to sober up from that. But we would try. But how do we do it? Because it's very difficult, by becoming addicted to something else, to something stronger, right? Take off one by putting another. Because it's very hard to give up things. But if you have a bigger addiction, then it's like, okay, this smaller addiction doesn't matter that much. And the way that it's saying here, that Prabhupada is telling us, and the Bhagavatam is, one who has become a devotee of the Lord by rendering devotional service. By rendering devotional service, then especially we can get a taste for hearing. Why? Because of those great souls that we are serving. We are serving those devotees, and then we get that taste for hearing, and that taste for hearing then translates also into a taste for chanting. And only by devotional service can we understand and come to Krishna. That's what it's saying here. We need to do this devotional service, this bhakti yogena, to be able to get that taste. So the festival of the holy name is so important for that, getting that higher taste. Bhakti amam bijanati yaman yas chasmitatvataha tatomam tatvato gyatva visheteta danantaram. We're hearing that only by devotional service can we really come to Krishna, become so attached to Krishna, know Krishna so intimately, very intimately. There's this beautiful story from the Padma Purana. I heard the story from Indradyumna Maharaj in his series that he did, the COVID series, like that. Where he was explaining the different forests, and he came to one, I think it's Kamyavan, and he was talking about the glories of Kamyavan, and during that he talked about this beautiful story that is, I believe, from the Padma Purana. Don't exactly quote me on that, but I believe that he said that it was from the Padma Purana, and it is said that Krishna was just lying, you know, next to Arjuna, you know, on the grass, you know, they were just hanging out as good friends. And then suddenly, like, Arjuna turned to him and grasped his hand and said, "My dear Krishna, if you think of me as your devotee, if I have ever done any, if I have ever pleased you in any way, please tell me about your intimate relationship with the gopis. Tell me what their names are and what the nature of this love that you have between you and them. What it is like." And then Krishna, you know, looked down and said, "Like, I'm sorry. this is very, very confidential, and no one except, you know, one who is a gopi can actually know these things." But Arjuna was very determined, you know, he was very like that, and Krishna was like, fine, if you really want to know, you have to get the blessings of Tripura Sundari. So go to her and ask for her blessings." So Arjuna went over to a beautiful temple that was in a grove of Tripura Sundari. And as he entered there, and he was paying his obeisances, the goddess appeared in front of him. Tripura Sundari is a form of Yoga Maya. And then she turned herself into a little girl. And she said, "I know we are here. And what you're asking for is very, very difficult. But I will. If you do this this sadhana that I will give you, then your aspirations will become manifest." So he took that sadhana and he started practicing very, very religiously, to say, very to the T in everything that he did. And after some time, he attained perfection in that sadhana. And then Tripura Sundari appeared to him again. And she said, "You have satisfied me, and I will have now my assistant, show you the way." And she called for this goddess, and they both started walking together. And this goddess was leading him. And they were walking throughout Kamyavan. And it is said that as he was walking through there, just the atmosphere, this beautiful atmosphere that was there, was changing his mind. His mind was now becoming more and more like that of the Vrijabhasis. And at this point in the lecture, Indradeva Maharaj was saying how important it is for us to go on pilgrimage, to go to these holy places. Because these holy places, they're so surcharged by the devotion of the devotees there, and that it has an effect on our mind, on our heart, to be able to have this mood of the Vrijabhasis. If we want to go to Krishna, to Vrindavan, to serve Krishna, we have to be in the mood of those devotees. We have to have that mood of the Vrijabhasis, of total dependence on Krishna, on looking at Krishna, not in awe and reverence, but with this love, this personal, very intimate love that only those inhabitants. So by going through this forest, he noticed that his mind was changing. And then he turned to her and said, my dear goddess, I see that there's a change in me, but in my mind, but you know, like he said, like, you know, looking at his body, you know, this, you know, you have this huge muscle, strong warrior body, and he was like this is not fitting in this atmosphere. And so she led him to this kund, and she asked him to go and take a bath in that kund. So he went one, two, and three. And when he came up, she was gone. My God, where did she go? And then he looked down at his reflection, and it was different, as you all probably anticipated. It was a beautiful, fully dressed girl, you know, little girl, with flowers in her long hair. She had this beautiful blue dress and ornaments, and she very very sweet, very sweet face and lotus eyes, and she was perplexed. Well, from this on, from this point on, probably I'll just refer to him as her. So she was perplexed at this moment, and she heard a voice from the sky saying, go to the river, and all of your desires will be fulfilled. So she went, okay. And as she was walking, she also started noticing that a lot of her memories were starting to like fade away. And she got to the river and didn't see anyone. It was just like there. So she just sat down and, okay, what's next? And after some time, she saw that a group of gopis, you know, little gopi girls, they were just you know, walking along, and you know, they started looking at her, and it's like, you know, like talking about her, you know, between themselves, and asking like, who is that? Who's that girl? Like, have you seen her? Like, no. So then they came up to Arjuna and asked her. You know, like you know, one of the gopis that seemed to be like the leader among those. She approached Arjuna and said, like, my dear one, what is your name? What village are you from? Who are your parents? And who is your lover? It pains us to see that in this realm of delight, somebody is bereft of any friends or lover. And this, she responded, my name is Arjuna Gopi, and I actually don't know where I'm from or who my parents are. I only remember is a voice telling me to come to the river, and that all my desires will be fulfilled. But please tell me, if you're so kind, who your names are, what your names are, and and who your lover is. And she said, those gopis over there, this group, they used to be sages in a previous life, who have now taken birth as gopis. This other group of gopis, they used to be demigoddesses, and now they're gopis. And the rest of us, we've always just been cowherd girls. And then they became very, very good friends, and they brought her and gave her a nice little kunja to live in. Very beautiful like that. And they said, very, very soon, Radharani will come here. So please take this mantra and meditate on that mantra continuously. So she did. Arjuna Gopi started, chanting this mantra, of Radharani, a Radharani mantra, every day, with such sincerity. And then one day, her desires became fulfilled. Radharani came in with some of her friends, and Arjuna Gopi immediately paid her obeisances to Radharani. Radharani picked her up and embraced her and asked her, "What is your name?" And she said, "My name is Arjuna Gopi." And she said, "Where are you living?" She said, "I'm living in this kund right now." And Arjuna Gopi, Radharani, knowing the heart of this little girl, she gave her a special sadhana to perform, for to be able to attain Krishna, very, very strongly. And she said, "When you are perfected in this mantra, you will see Krishna." And then she gave her a special kund, a kunja, to live in, next to a kund, next to a little lake. And in that place, Arjuna Gopi started, doing this sadhana every single day, very intensely, very intensely. And it was on a special special day that her friend, this first gopi that had introduced her to all the other gopis, came to her and said, "I want you to do this mandala on the ground, like ganguli type of, and offer, do offerings to this as you continue your sadhana that Radharani gave you, and this will bring you all perfection." So she started doing this, and these intense feelings of separation just started bubbling in her so strongly that she started crying and crying and crying and going, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." It was so pitiful, that her tears were, filling the kund that she was next to, and all the trees they were wilting as they were just hearing the cries of Arjuna Gopi. And in that moment, Krishna was sitting with Radharani, and he just turned his head and he looked at Radharani and said, "Bring her immediately." And so Radharani knew what he meant, and he asked one of her gopi friends to go and get her. And this gopi came up to where Arjuna Gopi was, and she was just in this condition that it was very, very pitiful. She brought her up and she said, "My dear one, from this day on, you need not cry any longer." And then she brought her to where Krishna was. As soon as Arjuna Gopi was getting near Krishna, she immediately bowed down, and then she looked up, and there was this great effulgence that would not allow her to see Krishna. But then this effulgence faded away, and she could see the beautiful form of Shyamasundar, with threefold bending form, peacock feather, beautiful ornaments, this blackish complexion, the beautiful lightning colored dhoti. It was incredible to behold, and Krishna took her up and wiped her tears away. And then, taking her hand, he took her on a walk. And as they were walking, all of Arjuna Gopi's desires were fulfilled at that point. They would exchange these sidelong glances between them, and Krishna would be making fun and putting his hand around her shoulder. At some point, Arjuna Gopi was feeling that, this ground is kind of, hurting her feet. So Krishna took her, lifted her up, and walked with her and put her down on a place, and took different flowers and put them on her hair. Very sweet. And it is said that they both took this beautiful love to the highest degree. And then slowly Krishna brought her down like that, and they came back to the assembly of the gopis where they had left from. It seemed to be just a moment, although it was like almost a whole night of Brahma. When they came, all of the other gopis were looking, and giggling amongst themselves, when they were coming like that. And Krishna asked one of the gopis, "Please, take her to take a bath, because she's very tired from our excursion." And so this gopi, the one that was her friend that had introduced her initially, she took her to a kund so that she could relieve herself from the fatigue, and gave her bathing cloth. And then she said, "Go on, my dear, take your bath," with a slight tinge of sadness. And then Arjuna Gopi took it and went into to take a bath. And when she came up, her friend was gone. And on the other side of the bank was Krishna, just sitting there, waiting. And before she could say anything to him, she looked down and suddenly saw a different reflection on the kundra. She had a big body, a very strong built body of a warrior. And at that point, Arjuna understood again what had happened. So very slowly, he came out of that kund next to Krishna. He fell at Krishna's feet and put his head on Krishna's lap and just started crying and sobbing again and again. And Krishna took his head, and his tears also mixed with Arjuna's tears. After some time, Arjuna composed himself, and Krishna said to him, "I told you that the dealings between me and the gopis is very, very confidential, and you can only know about it if by experiencing it yourself. In this way, he said, to please keep it confidential then. And Arjuna assented. Krishna had shown Arjuna his identity in the spiritual world. He is eternally in the spiritual world as Arjuna in Hastinapur, but he's also in Vrindavan as Arjuna Gopi. And he had shown him this form. So then they went both back to Hastinapur. And when they went back, all of his brothers were there waiting for him. But they noticed that he was very quiet, and he just went to his room and closed the door. They knew that something had changed in him, but as great transcendentalists do, they knew that some things are better left unsaid. For the next couple of days, Arjuna did not come out of his room. He was just constantly remembering, you know, his time as Arjuna Gopi, you know, in Vrindavan. And it is said that in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Arjuna Gopi and Arjuna come back together again in the form of Ramananda Roy. It is said that also another personality comes in, which is either Lalita or Vishakha. Some acharyas say Lalita, some others say Vishakha. But, you know, Arjuna comes back again with Arjuna Gopi, and they serve Lord Chaitanya very intimately in the Gambira. So we understand by this that, yes, only by devotional service can we really understand Krishna, can we really come into these pastimes. And this Holy Name Festival is an opportunity for us to really come closer to the Lord. What is our mantra to come closer to the Lord? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Within this is the whole spiritual world. Within this is our eternal service to Krishna, our eternal identity. And so we can take this and thank Prabhupada for giving us access to this highest, most esoteric platform in the simplest and most beautiful way, to giving us access to serving Krishna through Lord Chaitanya, through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So it is almost time. There's like 5 minutes left. If anybody has some questions, some comments, or if you have a really good joke. Prabhu?
Very nice. You were mentioning about going to pilgrimage, then the mind becomes satiated and satisfied, peaceful, right? But if you look at the 26th verse of this very chapter, Srila Prabhupada was saying, but advanced devotee, they prefer just to remain fully serving the Lord, serve the Lord, rather than going pilgrimage, you know? Like he was saying, but maybe devotees that are not so advanced, pilgrimage is okay and so, you know, but in the purport of 26th verse, says they and they. Where do you know the source? I mean, I know Maharaj related this story to you, but do you know the source of it?
I believe it's from the Padma Purana, but I'm not 100% sure. He does mention it in his class. I believe it's from the Padma Purana.
Do you want me to give comment on this or not? Or just stating the fact? Let's hear from him. It's nice.
So it's good to it's important that you know we serve constantly. However, you know, pilgrimage is one of the processes of devotional service.
64, yes.
One of the 64. And so, you know, not only is it okay for us to do it, but it's actually something very, very important for us to do it. Because when we go there, we realign ourselves. When we go, I remember being in Vrindavan the first time, and I was thinking, wow, this is amazing. When I'm here, you cannot forget Krishna at any point. You know, it's everywhere. Like the graffiti on the wall says Shri Radha and Radha Krishna. You know, there are bells. You know, constantly. You know, clinging throughout the day. Everybody comes up to you and says Radha Radha. You know, you cannot forget Krishna at any point. And I was thinking, back in the West, you know, you have to do such an effort to remember Krishna. It's like, today is Ekadashi, isn't it? Oh my God, we can go a whole day without thinking of Krishna if we're not careful, you know. So going to these places is just surcharged with this remembrance of Krishna all the time. And just every place that you go to, there is a special significance to it. That is like, oh, this is where Rupa Goswami used to write these books. Oh, this is a place, you know, where Induleka, you know, was born. Oh, look at this. It's so many beautiful places like that, that you're just constantly thinking of Krishna all the time. And in this remembrance of the devotees of Krishna like that, then you're purified. You're constantly purified. So do we stay there constantly? No. Prabhupada also said, you know, like it's better not to stay too long, because then we get familiar. You know, go back, you know, go there, get inspiration, and go back to your temple and give this Krishna consciousness to others. We go there to recharge. We need, you know, like all our appliances, we need a recharge. You know, when our batteries go too low, we need that recharge, that spiritual recharge that reminds us how wonderful you know, this Krishna consciousness is, how important it is for me to like go deep, fully into it, and to have that experience, to have that incredible experience that will give me that higher taste by which I can overcome all these other little sense gratification desires. Yes, you had a question? Okay. Very good. Shy. Oh.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for a very inspiring class. I love the stories. I'm a little curious about this addiction. Materially, you know, for addiction to develop, you have to have a taste. But in spiritual life, isn't it the opposite? We have to, you know, like when we go preaching, we're trying to get the people to, you know, hear what Krishna acquired taste. So how do you relate the addiction to preaching to develop a taste? So, you know, I understand association and it goes from there. But this addiction, you have to have something like even sugar, you have to have a taste for it, and then the addiction develops. I know that's materially, but I'm trying to compare it spiritually. How is it to understand it a little more so I could be a little more addicted?
Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, I remember this one time he was giving a class at the Bhakti Center in New York. And he was talking about you know, this marketplace of the holy name, right? And and he was talking about, you know, Lord Nityananda's mercy. And he said, like, when you're doing this, when you're spreading, you know, this holy name around, he said, you're like one of the brokers there, you know, you're giving like some samples to give to others. We're again Black Friday, you know, we're in a very special time in history when there's very special mercy going around, which is the one of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So you get these samples to give to others, and what happens is, like, you give one, I get one. You give one, I get one. You get one, I get one. And pretty soon it becomes very ecstatic. You know, you're by giving to others, you know, you're also getting some of those samples. And the thing is that your sample also starts getting bigger and bigger. Starts getting bigger and bigger. You give, and it gets bigger, and you get bigger, and it gets bigger. And pretty soon, you're very drunk. Very drunk in the holy names. You're super ecstatic. You're feeling incredible. And the devotees that are giving, you know, this, they feel that reciprocation from the Lord. So the act of doing it is going to give us that. That is why he said, you know, at the very beginning, you know, of jaundice, we're tasting it and it's like, it's bitter. But just keep taking it, just keep taking it, just keep giving this holy name, and you will see that become, like, increase that ecstasy more and more. Sorry? Yes. So we wanna develop, again, addiction. Get that addiction, and use it in our advantage. Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. On the topic of the holy Dham and the importance of pilgrimage, not to minimize that in any way, but Srila Prabhupada's traversing the entire planet, he has created holy Dhams everywhere, actually. For just this very this temple and the temple grounds, people have come here and make comment how they feel the atmosphere is so peaceful, so wonderful, you know, not just because it's a rural little piece of land here, but so even actually all the more reason one can take advantage of coming into the temple where one experiences the divine energy, and it has effect on their whole day just by their daily visit to the temple. And it's a place where so much devotional service is being performed. It's surcharged with transcendental energy, and one can be recharged daily in that way, especially when they have to encounter so many other elements in the course of their day and their duties. Just wanted to say that. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Prabhupada. Yeah, definitely. You know, this year I could not go to Vrindavan, and I'm here. So yeah, if I can't go to Vrindavan directly like that, you know, Prabhupada has given us that opportunity. Come here, you know, go to the temples. You know, that's amazing. So we should come to the temple as much as possible, and we should also go to the holy dhams as much as possible. Yes, Ruth.
Commentary on this, he said that consciously we have to accept this bhakti. Consciously means constantly we have to think why we are doing, what purpose driving my life right now, am I progressing? Consciously, you say. Say the distance between impelling and response is the free will. What is free will? It's the distance between this impelling and response. And he said, if you pursue on that and keep on repeating this bhakti, after a while it will be a compelling stage where you really feel like you want to do it whenever you have opportunity. And you keep on going, it becomes irresistible. I don't want to give up. I can't live without it, as you mentioned. And that irresistible ends with addiction. Addiction is not something we can give up, because attachment is eternal. Four things are eternal with the soul at the moment of death. One is the attachment. The bhavam that the Krishna talks about, 8.5 and 6, that at the moment of death, the bhavam will take you to a next destination.
Mm-hmm.
But what is bhavam made of? These four elements. One is attachment. It's eternal. So when you cultivate like this, slowly, slowly, you come to that deep attachment, where you can say addiction, then we will definitely guarantee we will go to the of Vrindavan and enter into spiritual. So in a positive way to look at it. And I appreciate your negative way of example of the brain. So I never knew that. This is how the addiction is actually required to be more and more in order to sustain.
You put a scientist to give God some class, you're going to get science.
Yeah,
sorry.
Thank you.
Jai, thank you, Prabhu. Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Gaur Pramanandu.